All right, we're in business. Well, my name is Thomas Hires, and some of y'all know me, and maybe those who do wish they didn't sometimes, but hey, too late. You can't have any do-overs now. So anyway, Michael asked me about telling my story, and I kind of had to yank his chain a little bit at first, so I said, well, let me think about it, Michael. I'm not sure. It didn't take me long to say, yeah, I'll do it. So I have something that I wanted to mention, but this is not what the story is about. So I do have to run a rabbit trail here too. And so I hope y'all will indulge me for just a little while so I can do this. But me and my siblings, we grew up in a dysfunctional family. That's not what the story is about. I just mentioned that because I wanted to say that it does not matter what your situation is in life, what you were born into, or what you're currently into right now. God can lift you up and set you on solid ground. And it doesn't matter if the dysfunction and the disaster is still all around you. It doesn't have to come near you. And that was my situation pretty much. So my brother and I, when we were young, we kind of compensated for the family situation. We became very competitive in sports and just about everything we did. We were very competitive. We always had to win all the time against each other. So one thing that we did, we started watching the NFL when we were little kids. And this is like the early 70s. And I promise this is not all about football. I'm getting there. I have to tie things up to make a point. And my wife gets mad at me sometimes because she says, just get to the point. I said, I can't. I have to tell you the whole story to make the bigger impact. So you have to hear me out. And so we used to compete about everything. And so in the early 70s, we're like the Falcons. Well, that wasn't any fun because I never won. So in 1972, we were watching this football game, and we decided we're going to switch teams. And it turned out to be, you have to be old school to know what I'm talking about when I say this. It turned out to be the Immaculate Reception game. So anybody remember that? So I said, you know what, I'm going to become a Raiders fan. He said, well, I'm going to start liking the Steelers then. So the rivalry was on at that point. And you know how big of a rivalry that was. If you're old enough to remember, that was probably the biggest one ever in the NFL that they ever had. So we'd fight back and forth every week. And every week my team would lose, I'd have to like kind of hide out and go to school the next day and say, can I stay at your house for a week? Because my brother he had no mercy when my team lost. And so, anyway, we'd fight about everything, but it was all in fun, but that's what we did. And so, I said that to say something else later on, but so we grew up as teenagers and we were doing our own thing. We were not serving God at all. And so, you know, sometimes God networks people and events in your life, and you don't even realize it. You think it's just something that just happened that day, but it wasn't. It was something that God was networking together, and you just never even saw it until you see it the day when it all comes together. And so, I decided I was going to join the military. Because my current job, well, it wasn't that great of a job. It wasn't a career type of position. So I thought I was going to the military because of that reason. That's what I thought. And so I did. Well, I talked to the military recruiter. And if you've ever been in the military, if you've ever talked to a recruiter, they don't exactly tell you the truth. Yeah, you're right. You've been there. So I walked in his office that day, and And I said, I'm thinking about joining the Air Force. I said, but I was thinking real small. I said, I want to be stationed in Florida. That's where I want to be stationed. So he said, oh, yeah, we have plenty of opportunities. Yeah, you can be stationed in Florida. Yeah, there's no problem. We had a lot of job opportunities for you there. So anyway, I did. I went in the military, and I got out of basic training. And he actually was right for the first part. I got stationed at Pensacola, Florida, but that was just 6 months from my tech school to learn how to do my job. So I first got to tech school, and I said, is there any chance that I can be stationed here in Florida and stay here? And somebody said, you're going overseas, buddy. And that blew me away. I had no idea that was coming, and there was no way out of it. I was going overseas. And I said, this is a far cry from what I thought was going to happen when I went in the military. But God was networking everything together for a reason. I still didn't understand it. But see, when you're in a current situation and you won't get your spiritual business done, let's just put it that way. And sometimes God has to do something drastic in your life. And so in my case, I had to join the military and go around the world to get my business taken care of. So that was just my situation. And who knows how God's going to work in each of your lives when something like that comes up. So I did. I was overseas, and I won't mention the first year because it doesn't really factor into the story. But I went. My second tour was in England. So I was over there. And I need to back up because I forgot about something. My rabbit trail. Here's where the rabbit trail comes in. So back in our growing up years, I mentioned I like the Raiders. They're my favorite football team in the whole world. I loved them. This was back in the 70s. And I really am leading up to a point by saying all this. So back then in the 70s, NFL, I mean, there were just a lot of dirty players. You could get away with just about murdering somebody back in the 70s. And so the Raiders were the dirtiest football team by far in the NFL. But I was a heathen, so I liked them. I didn't know any better. And one of my favorite players on that team was somebody named Jack Tatum. And his nickname was the Assassin, because that's just about what he did to people. He was like a missile, a human missile that went after the receivers, and he would try to hurt people. And he paralyzed a receiver for life, and that was not even in a regular season game. That was a preseason game. That's how that man played all the time. And so, their linemen, they used to wear a cast on their arms. They weren't hurt. They had the cast. They put pieces of metal inside their cast. They were dirty players. And so, but that was my team. So I had to mention that to get to this next part. So probably about halfway through my 3-year tour over there in England, I really started searching and really started seeking. And some of the things that I was doing when I first got there, I just quit. I said, this is not for me anymore. You go ahead and keep doing it. I'm just not doing it anymore. And I walked away from a lot of it because I was starting to feel that conviction. And probably about a year and a half into my tour, this friend of mine at work, he worked next to me, and he was a Christian guy. And once in a while, he wasn't overbearing, but he'd share little tidbits with me once in a while. So I'd listen to him. I'd take it all in. And it got to a point where I was desperately searching. And I knew what I was searching for, because when I was little, we had some exposure to Christianity. We went to church a little bit. So I knew what I was searching for. So anyway, he was talking to me along and along. So you remember the name I mentioned earlier, because it's going to come up again. So we had some nights were slow at work. So we take turns getting off early. And the ride from the hill where we worked down to the dorms was it was a little bit of a walk, so they had a bus. So I got off early that night, and the bus wasn't there because I got off early. So I said, well, I'm getting ready to walk down to my dorm. And this guy offered me a ride, and I never met him before. And I guess he got off early too, and he was leaving, so he offered me a ride. I said, yeah. So I got in the car, and I think he brought this up. I don't think I did. He said, so you watch the NFL? I said, yeah, I do. In fact, I love the Raiders, and the 70s Raiders were my favorite football team of all time. And this is an example of how God networks together. He said, Jack Tatum was a personal friend of mine. And I said, he said, I know him personally. He's a personal friend of mine. And I'm telling you, if the car door hadn't been shut, I would have fallen out of the car. Because I said, how did he even know to bring that up? That, you know, how did he even know about that? Somehow he just brought it up. And so I said, okay, what's he like? And because I read his book and everything. I mean, I was a fan. And so I said, what's he like? He said, he's a real nice guy off the field. I said, well, he doesn't play around when he's on the field. He said, no, he doesn't. So anyway, he became an instant friend right away. And if y'all hadn't figured it out yet, you will in a minute. So he dropped me off, and so he was a friend from then on. So probably a couple months later, my friend that I worked with, he just said, do you want to come to church with us tonight? And I said, well, who all's going? And the reason I asked that is because, you know, you're searching out for Jesus, and you know tonight might be the night that you walk up in front of a bunch of strangers, you don't want to also go there with strange people. I wanted to know somebody, and if it would have been somebody I didn't even know, I probably would have said, nah, I think I'll pass. I don't think I'll go tonight. But he said the guy's name. I said, oh, that's my friend. Y'all know him. I said, okay, I'll go with y'all tonight. And so on the way there, it was a town about 10 miles off the base. And Jackie, you've been over there. You know where Bedford is, don't you? That's where it was. It was in the little town of Bedford. And so on the way there, he was playing praise and worship music. I was in the back seat of that car. I was fighting those tears all I could to hold them back. And I said, you know, if tonight's not going to be the night, I don't know what night could be the night. So we got there and we walked in. And I'm about to tell y'all that I've never been to a church like this before. And I still have not to this day been to a church like this, and that was back in 1986. We walked in there, and it was a Jamaican church, and we had gotten there a little bit late, so the service had already started. Everybody in the whole church was up dancing with all their might, just like King David did. They were getting it. I'm talking about 80-year-old people. It didn't matter, little children, elderly, it didn't make any difference. And it was a church straight out of 1 Corinthians. Every woman had a hat on. Every man had short hair. But they were dancing with all their might, with all they had inside of them, dancing to praise God. And as soon as I walked in, I felt a presence and a power that I've never felt in any church ever. And I mean, I've been in some services here and there where they just about blew the roof off. It wasn't anything like this. And I actually, I was the only white guy in the church because my friend who worked with me was Hispanic guy. Then the other guy that gave me a ride was a black guy. So I was the only white guy. It didn't bother me at all because when I walked in there, I said, this is where I was supposed to be. And so they finished with that, and the pastor delivered the message. And at the end of it, he did the altar call, and I just said, I'm standing there, everybody's standing up. I'm thinking, go up there. But it was like the devil had my ankles in chains or something, and it was tied to something, and I couldn't budge. Or maybe he had me held down like this, say, you're not going anywhere, son. And I'm standing there, I'm wanting to go up there so badly, and I couldn't move. And then suddenly my friend standing next to me, he said the magic words. He just said, Tom, go up there. As soon as he said that, everything just broke off, and I almost ran up there. I mean, I almost ran to the altar. But the thing is, when I got up there, a lot of people had gone up there just to pray or whatever. There were probably over 100 people up there. And so I just stood in the back. So I'm standing there probably just like this with my hands in my pockets, not knowing what to do. And I'm just standing around. And that pastor, he started pushing through the crowd, wading through the crowd, I guess, kind of like Jesus pushed through people who wanted to throw him off the cliff. So he just waded through the crowd and went back straight to me. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me, you're the one who needs it the most. And he brought me up to the front, and he started praying, and he put his hand on my head. And I'm going to try to explain to y'all in natural terms something that is supernatural, and I won't be able to do this justice, but I'm going to do the best that I can, because that's all I know how to say this. But when he put his hand on my head, I had my eyes closed, and I could see with my eyes closed the Holy Spirit just coming through his hand into my head and just enveloping my whole body, and the Spirit of Jesus coming to reside in here at the same time. And I guess for me, God had to say, you're not going to have an ordinary experience, because maybe you're too stubborn or whatever the reason was. You're not going to have just an ordinary salvation experience like everybody else does. You're going to have an extraordinary one. And it was. And he brought me up to speak right after that, and I couldn't hardly talk. I was overcome. And about all I remember I could say was praise God, I'm saved. I don't remember much else that I said, because I really couldn't even talk. But it was just the magnificence of that moment, that event. I can't really tell you what it was like beyond what I just told you. So then we went home, and I'm just overcome with joy. And so I went back to my dorm room. My roommate was gone. And what I really wanted to do was run up and down the hallways of the dorm and do flips and somersaults. But I said, they might call the security police, so I better not be doing stuff like that. So I just went in my room, and I sat down in the chair, and I took my Bible, and I just clutched it as hard as I could, just like this. And, you know, that night, I was sheep number 100. That was the night. He waited through the 99 at the church to get number 100, like the parable says about the 99 sheep. And so after that, you know, I guess when you first become born again, you have this fire inside, and you just want to tell everybody. And that's what I was doing. I had 4 months left to be in the military. So I had 4 months left on that base. So I pretty much made the most of it. My friend across the hall, he was a Catholic. So we had some very interesting conversations And I couldn't, I was a young Christian, so a new Christian, so I couldn't answer some of his questions. But the guys next door to me were Christian guys, and they seemed to come along at the just appropriate time to answer questions that I couldn't answer for the Catholic guy. And so I don't know if he came to know Jesus or, but anyway, I had another good friend that I used to see him every day, but then he got married and moved off base. So I just saw him once in a while. I was talking to him about Jesus, and probably about 2 months later, I didn't think anything more about it. I saw him at work. He said, hey, Tom, guess what? I just got saved. So I don't know if I had anything to do with that or if it was somebody else, but it didn't really matter. And then after that, a friend of his got saved. So somebody told him, whether it was me or somebody else, and then he told the other guy, and the other guy was a pretty rough guy, and I was kind of surprised to hear that, but it was like it was starting to have a domino effect. So I only had 4 months to stay, so I didn't get to really see how it all ended up, but they had a Christian group on the base, and I started going to that, and we had some interesting conversations about all that. But yeah, it's just kind of amazing what great lengths God will go to save someone's soul. And for me, that was about as spectacular as it could get. And maybe someone else just needs to walk in a church and just say the sinner's prayer and that's it. I guess I needed more than that in my life. And so ever since then, you know, I can't say that I've done everything just right, but I've never looked back and never going to look back. And so I still celebrate my spiritual birthday every year because I remember when it was. And I had something pretty rough happen during that time before I left the base, before I left the military. But I was a Christian then, and a girl broke my heart, in other words, I'll just say that. And it was a shock because we were engaged to be married, and she just called it off. And that might have normally crushed me, but I said, well, I got somebody right here who's never going to do that to me. And the one I have in here matters more than her. Yeah, it hurts what she did, but the one in here matters, and he's never going to leave me, and he's never going to forsake me. And it sure made it a lot easier to deal with that situation after having gone what I went through. So, and you know, I was thinking while I was saying this, maybe I should try to look the guy up on Facebook. If I can find him and just touch base. I haven't talked to him since I left. And if he's still alive and well, I'm sure he'd like to hear about it. But I just have not pursued that before for whatever the reason. But anyway, it's just not looking back, going forward and keeping your eyes on the prize at the end. And along the way, while you're walking forward, you can touch someone's life in whatever way God enables you to. And so I just thank God, and I guess I'll stop because Michael has accused me of talking too long in the past. So
not me.
I don't want to just run everybody off because
like
they
that,
get
Tom.
Yeah, I don't want to put everybody
now,
to sleep.
I don't
so.
Do people like that.
Yeah, well, we've done a couple of podcasts, and
Tom don't talk long.
And I've been.
I mean, he's been going for like 30 minutes now.
It really?
I mean, that's not long.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's all. I'm leaving before he gets me talking about another story because I really could, but we might save that for a podcast another time. So, all right, that's all, y'all.
Yeah, we got. Here, Tom. Tom, don't leave without.